have come to give you praise for the strength to live your word. Let us pray to the
Lord. Lord, have mercy, Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
And defend us, O God.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O Lord God, tireless guardian of your people, you are always ready to hear our cries. Teach us to rely day and night on your care. Inspire us to seek your enduring justice for all this suffering world through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
Thank you. have been saying, oh, Lord, help me. Or they might have been praising him like we do in the Psalms. But God always listens, and he's always, always there. So, tell them what we did in Sunday school this morning. What did we do?
We made rocks.
And we didn't make rocks.
A reading from Genesis. The same night, Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two maids, and his 11 children and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. He took them and sent them across the stream, and likewise everything that he had. Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he struck him on the hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, "Let me go, for the day is breaking." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." So he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." Then the man said, "You shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with humans and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked him, "Please tell me your name." But he said, "Why is it that you ask my name?" And there he blessed him. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, "For I have seen God face to face, and yet my life is preserved." The sun rose upon him as he passed Peniel, limping because of his hip. The word of the Lord. A reading from 2 Timothy. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have known the sacred writings that are able to instruct you for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, so that everyone who belongs to God may be proficient, equipped for every good work. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I solemnly urge you, proclaim the message. Be persistent, whether the time is favorable or unfavorable. Convince, rebuke, and encourage with the utmost patience in teaching. For the time is coming when people will not put up with sound doctrine, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own desires and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander away to myths. As for you, always be sober, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, carry out your ministry fully. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Alleluia, alleluia.
Lord, to whom shall we go?
You have the words of eternal life. Alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 18th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Then Jesus told them a parable about their need to pray always and not to lose heart. He said, in a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor had respect for people. In that city there was a widow who kept coming to him and saying, grant me justice against my opponent. For a while he refused, but later he said to himself, though I have no fear of God and no respect for anyone, yet because of this widow keeps bothering me, I will grant her justice so that she may not wear me out by continually coming. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long in helping them? I tell you, he will quickly grant justice to them. And yet when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
A 4-year-old boy was asked to return thanks before Christmas dinner. The family members bowed their heads in expectation, and he began his prayer, thanking God for all his friends, naming each one by one. And then he thanked God for mommy, daddy, brother, sister, grandma, grandpa, and all his aunts and uncles. Then he began to thank God for the food. He gave thanks for the turkey, the dressing, the fruit salad, the cranberry sauce, the pies, the cakes, even the Cool Whip. Then he paused, and everyone waited and waited. And after a long silence, the young fellow looked up at his mother and asked, if I thank God for the broccoli, won't he know I'm lying? Well, I guess we do need to be honest in prayer. Even more, perhaps we need to take a page from the way that child prayed, so full of faith and trust and involving God in every aspect of his life. Prayer is the central part of the Christian's life. Prayer is our lifeline, our connection to God, the source of strength and hope and support and peace that keeps us going in a frantic an out-of-control world. But unfortunately, sometimes we don't turn to prayer like we should. I remember the insight I read somewhere not long ago that in the book of Acts, God kept having to interrupt his disciples at prayer in order to get them to do things. But with us, we're often so busy doing things that we don't take time to pray. Prayer is the central part of a Christian's life. It's our time to touch God. It's a time when God touches us. Our gospel reading today talks about prayer, but usually when we read this parable, we end up a bit confused. Jesus tells a parable about a widow. Tradition in that day was that widows would be provided for by their husband's estate, although the widow herself actually never inherited anything, and many were left to fend for themselves. Well, that seems to be the case here, and the woman goes to the judge to plead her case, to force her husband's relatives to give her the support that was her due. But the judge is unjust. Nevertheless, the woman was persistent and asked over and over again for the case to be heard until the judge does hear the case, just to get rid of the widow and her pestering. Now, a lot of times we take this parable to mean that if God doesn't give us what we want, if we ask long enough and often enough, eventually we'll bother God enough that he will. But you see, that's not the point at all. The point is that God is not like that judge, not like that judge at all. The point is, if an unjust judge will listen and act, how much more so will God, who loves us and cares for us? How much more so will God respond in mercy and grace? How much more so will God, who made us and redeemed us and who wants what is good for us? Yes, God wants us to ask, but know this too, God hears and God responds. The time for prayer is when you have a need for God. The place or position is wherever you happen to be. Prayer can happen anytime, anywhere. And sometimes prayer can happen without words. Frederick Buechner says this about prayer. Everybody prays, whether you think of it as praying or not. The odd silence you fall into when something very beautiful is happening, or something very good or very bad. The awe that sometimes floats up out of you as out of a Fourth of July crowd when the skyrocket bursts over the water. The stammer of pain at somebody else's pain. The stammer of joy at somebody else's joy. Whatever words or sounds you use for sighing with over your own life, these are all prayers in their own way. They are spoken not just to yourself, but to something even more familiar than yourself and even more strange than the world. Now, I like that. I like that prayer doesn't always have to be formal language, but can also be the sharing of life with God, the utterances of the Holy Spirit within us, the sighs of our hearts too deep for words that draw us close to God. Prayer matters. Prayer changes things. But maybe even more importantly, prayer changes us. You cannot go to God in prayer and come away the same. In prayer, we are strengthened and renewed to face the challenges of life. In prayer, we are comforted and given the courage to start again. In prayer, God binds our wounds and assures us of love and care. In prayer, we draw near to God and pour out our hearts. Prayer is being with God, touching God, and even more, having God touch us. And being close to God, feeling God near, sensing God's real power and love, you cannot come away from that unchanged. In prayer, the world becomes new. And in prayer, we become new for the world. Prayer is the language of the heart. Our lives poured out to God. Prayer is God's love and hope and peace poured out on us. And guess what? You don't have to thank God for the broccoli. Gathered as God's people, we confess our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. With the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, let us pray for the church, those in need, and all of God's creation. Merciful God, we come to you in prayer now, thanking you for the gift of prayer itself. We so cherish this time with you, this time of our hearts drawing near to you, this time of our lives shared with you. Invite us to pray even more, loving God. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, that our yearnings may be for you and our wills may be shaped by yours. Lord, in your mercy, God of all, lead us to speak the language of love and service, compassion and care to others in all our actions and words. May we live together in welcome and peace and understanding as one people in you. Lord, in your mercy, you speak healing to all your people, loving Lord. Fill us with compassion for those in need. Reach out your hand to the sick, the hungry, the poor, and those who suffer in war. Bless all in need, and especially those near to us whom we remember before you. Lord, in your mercy, we pray for our nation and all nations of the world, O God. Unite us in your love, that we might know we are brothers and sisters together and seek understanding and peace with one another. Remind us often that you love us all and that you love us each. Lord, in your mercy, into your hands, gracious God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. Let us share God's peace.
provider, we bring nothing into this world, and we can take nothing out of it,
except the gifts you have first given us, which we bring to your table, and with them an offering of our lives.
Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection open to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy are you, God of power and might. Holy God, you created a world in which all might be satisfied by your abundance. You dined with Abraham and Sarah, promising them life, and fed your people Israel with manna from heaven. You sent your Son to eat with sinners and to become food for the world. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, given for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his life given for us, his rising from the grave, and we await his coming again to share with us the everlasting feast. By your Spirit, nurture and sustain us with this meal. Strengthen us to serve all in hunger and want. And by this bread and cup, make of us the body of your Son. Through him, all glory and honor is yours, Almighty Father, with the Holy Spirit, in your holy church, both now and forever. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you.
The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Let us pray. God of blessing, at this table we have seen you face to face, and in the gift of Christ's body and blood, our hearts have been refreshed. Send us now to shine with your goodness and bear witness to the one we have received, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Peace. Serve the Lord.
Thanks be.